welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I make a friend watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. My name is Cara Westworth and I am your host. This is my second podcast, so welcome back if you've listened to the first one. I have my really good friend Emma here with me. She's up from Melbourne and I'm going to introduce you now. Hello, Emma.
Hello.
You're up for an art show at the moment, so I feel like I'm already mostly getting my Melbourne friends to be on this podcast. It's not going to be a recurring thing, but thank you so much for coming here and doing this for me.
No worries. It's a pleasure.
So the film that we've chosen, I actually asked Emma what she hadn't seen, and we were going by what was available on Netflix, and she picked the one that I was hoping she wouldn't pick because... Oh, look, it's a time. It's called Rock of Ages. It's from 2012 and it is exactly what it is. It is a film version of the stage play. It is a musical that features lots of 80s rock bands, songs sung by the actors themselves, and it is a time. What was your opinion? What were your immediate thoughts after watching it?
After watching it, I was surprised that I liked it.
I kind of feel the same. So I hated it the whole way through. Like, I was yelling at it. I was putting things on Instagram, like, bitching and moaning about it, how tacky and gross. But after I watched it, I was like, I think I liked that, actually. And the more I thought about it afterwards, the more I was like, no, I know it's tacky and it's terrible, but I also, like, enjoyed it.
I had a surprisingly enjoyable time watching it.
I guess, yeah, it's the people I know who really like it, that's their bag. Like, one friend really likes that music, that sort of 80s hair metal and dad rock kind of music. Yeah. And other people who just like camp, cheesy musicals.
Yeah.
And then there's the rest of us who were like, I don't think I want to watch this. But then you have to watch it because Tom Cruise is in it, so... Here we are.
You told me to watch it or watch something with Tom Cruise in it. And I, knowing that I was going to be too tired to pay too much attention to an action film, on my flight up here, I thought, well, I'll go for something a little more lighthearted. And when I watched the trailer, I actually didn't realise that it was a musical. I just thought it was a movie based around music. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. That seems all right. I stopped the trailer halfway through because I didn't want it to show all of the main parts of the film. So I was like, all right, I've got a fair idea. I'll choose that one. And then when you were like, oh, are you sure? I was like, oh, crap. Have I made the wrong decision? Why? What's wrong with it? And the two people you just described, people who love 80s hair metals versus people who just love musicals, and I kind of fit into both of those categories. Nice. So I think my
only concern was it's so polarizing that you possibly could have just hated it. And
I hated parts of it.
Yeah. Oh God. We're going to get into that in a sec. The first podcast I did with Matt, we did The Mummy and we didn't have a lot of good stuff to say. So I didn't want to have a second podcast. We were like, well, that was just fucking terrible.
That was crap. What did we talk about?
So I will give you a little bit of an idea. If you haven't seen Rock of Ages, you just have to be warned that it is a lot. If you don't like 80s rock music and if you don't like musicals at all, you avoid it. You shouldn't even listen to this, to be honest. You'll be so angry. But if you think you might be interested, I highly recommend it. Maybe watch it before you listen to the rest of this podcast. So basically,
you know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And we're not spoiling it completely for you. Not that I think you can spoil this movie. It's as formulaic as a film can possibly be. Yeah.
You can kind of guess what's happening anyway, which is what I was doing most of the way through in my notes. I was like, I'm waiting for this song to come on. Oh, there it is.
So the movie it centers around two people. Their names are Sherry and Drew. They're attractive young wannabe musicians, singers, and they are working at a fictional bar in Los Angeles called the Bourbon Room, which I found out is basically Whiskey a Go-Go, which is a real bar that is like an institution in LA for those kinds of bands and everything. So direct copy of that. And basically the girl gets a job there. She's been mugged. She falls in love with the guy who kind of gets her a job there, and they're working at this fucking trashy rock and roll bar, and Stacey Jacks is going to perform there. Now Stacey Jacks is Tom Cruise, and this is not a Tom Cruise movie. It's not meant to be a Tom Cruise movie. Tom Cruise is meant to be a side character. But in my opinion, he is the main character because I think he did a fucking amazing job of being Stacey Jacks. What do you think?
I expected to hate the Stacey Jacks character, but yeah, I think he's a lot more likable than I thought he would be the villain of the movie more than he was. Like, he wasn't the, like, his manager turns out to be.
Yeah, his manager is the villain. So Stacey Jacks is, I always thought of him, he was like a mashup of Axl Rose and, what's his name from Nikki Sixx?
He had a very Nikki Sixx vibe. But very Motley Crue.
I looked it up and apparently he's a mashup of Axl Rose, Bret Michaels, Keith Richards and Jim Morrison. Which I don't know. I think he was Nikki Sixx with a little, with a peppered with Axl Rose, really. Maybe Bret Michaels. He's a tacky man, isn't he?
He was Stacey Jacks is kind of the epitome of that sort of, you know, that rock star that I was obsessed with as like a 16, 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Listening to Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses. And then my first experiences drinking and partying was all based around all that sort of music. Yeah. And all, like, every guy you met at the place, the bars and stuff you go out to.
Like wannabe. Like,
wannabe rock and roll stars and, yeah, the tight pants and a tattoo here and there and, like, the hair all done up and eyeliner.
Big,
and
old teased hair.
I think I also expected him to be more, like, sleazy. Like, he was a bit, but he was not, like,
he's that
wasn't
sleazy.
He was, but, like, he wasn't, like, that wasn't his, they didn't use that as, like, that's his, this big villain who, you know,
just
took advantage of some girl and then, you know, whereas they took it from the angle where he actually sort of fell in love with a girl.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it wasn't, like, he had
a big whole redemption thing where he's, like, this sleazy, almost has been
kind of washed up, hitting rock bottom and not really doing anything good anymore. And then he turns it around and is like, you know, like the hero of the movie.
Yeah.
Rather than him taking advantage of a girl and then ruining something and or being not what he's all cracked up to be. That's what I was kind of expecting, Sherry's character to meet him and be heartbroken by the fact that her idol is an asshole.
Yeah.
But he didn't really turn out to be like that.
No,
it was
just
kind of, I was like, oh, okay, that's slightly different to it. And also, like, I thought he'd be a lot more arrogant. Like, he was arrogant, but he was also a bit just
vulnerable.
Yeah, I thought he'd be more of an asshole than he was. Like, he was obviously had the rock star, you know, like, demanding his booze and all that sort of stuff. But he just seemed not as much of a straight-up prick as I expected him to be.
So Stacey Jacks is in it to be, like, the rock star who is – he's a very polarizing character. So some other characters, like the mayor of Los Angeles and his wife, and they're very, like, she's very Nancy Reagan kind of archetype. She is against rock and roll and she's getting women from church groups and they're picketing the venue.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, who is – fuck, she's a beautiful woman.
You remind me of her.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I've thought that ever since I met you, and I thought it was just so funny that she's in this and on your podcast because so many times I'm like, Cara does the same, you have this very
thank
similar
you.
Face.
Well,
yeah.
I'm really embarrassed that I just said that she's a very beautiful woman.
She's so beautiful. Yeah, I was waiting for you to say that first so that I could slide that in.
So she and Bryan Cranston is her wife. The husband.
Yeah.
So there's some fun little characters who are in there. So that while the whole storyline's going on, there's also some ultra-conservative politician-type people trying to get the bar shut down and Stacey Jacks cancelled. I don't know. So, the two young people fall in love and then the dude, what's his name?
Drew.
He thinks he sees his girlfriend, Sherry, coming out of Stacey Jacks's dressing room, adjusting her top and he's adjusting his pants and he's immediately assumes that she's fucked him. And what actually happened is that she took some alcohol into the room that he requested and she dropped it and spilled it and he just asked her to leave and she's like apologizing and saying, oh, thank you. And he's like, no worries, and adjusts his dick in his leather pants. And so, of course, old mate does not go, oh my God, did you sleep with Stacey Jacks? And she can say, no, this is what happened. And, you know,
he did what usually happens and just assumes the worst and is like,
worst,
oh my God.
Throws a tantrum, blah, blah, blah. He'd just been on stage, so he had to open up for Stacey Jacks. And the manager of Stacey Jacks is a very, very sleazy man. He approaches Drew and's like, I'm going to make you famous. You're going to be the next rock star. So that sort of sets up the rest of the movie where he becomes – I'll condense it down, so you just go watch the damn movie, really.
He puts him into a boy band.
They're like the Z guys.
The guys.
Far out.
So cringy.
But like, I was watching that. I'm more of a pop music fan than I am a rock music fan. So I was like, something wrong with that.
Get out. No.
One thing I thought about this movie is they're like, oh, we hate pop music. It's lame. Rock and roll forever. But can you think of a single movie about pop music that is as cheesy and tacky as this is? Like, they're trying to make rock music be like the more superior, cool genre of music. And like, there's nothing pop related that is as fucking dreadful as this. Like, there's nothing cool about this. You have not made rock and roll sound cool. Catherine Zeta-Jones singing "Hit Me with Your Best Shot" is not cool. Like, it is.
And swinging her leg around like doing a high kick in a pastel pinky peach skirt suit thing.
Yeah, that was. Of the time. Like, Pat Benatar, if she were dead, would be rolling in her grave. She's rolling around somewhere.
She's rolling around hard. I'm trying to find my notes on that. Hit Me With Your Best Shot, church song, Catherine Zeta-Jones dancing somewhat inappropriately for mass. Lol.
Yeah, so the movie works out. Oh, so the scene with Stacey Jacks. So Stacey Jacks is lying around with all these, like, he's lying. This is a recurring theme. He's lying down on like a pool table with one of his groupies, bums his pillow.
Yeah.
And which is great. I'm like, can you imagine being that actress? Like, you haven't got a line. You sing a line in the movie, but also Tom Cruise is going to use your ass as a pillow. Like, you're like, okay, well, I've made it now. Well, that's how I'd feel.
Oh, yeah. I'll put my butt in a movie to have someone use it as a pillow. Go for it. Whatever.
And so a Rolling Stone journalist comes in and she tries to get an interview out of him. He's really arrogant and a real prick to her. And she's like confronting him about, well, actually, you're branching out into a solo career because no one wants to work with you and it's the only thing you can do. You're kind of washed up, blah, blah, blah. And then they realize they have the hots for each other. Mm-hmm. And they have this bit where they... I don't think they actually have sex, do they? I think it's just she gets down to her underwear and they writhe around. But my favorite bit in the whole movie is when she is bent over the pool table and Tom Cruise sings into her ass. That is the thing. It's like she went home and her partner was like, "Hey, how was shooting today?" She's like, "Great, Tom Cruise sang into my asshole today." You know, Tom Cruise
sang a song to my butthole.
Yeah, it's does. And there's a scene, so the Netflix version doesn't have this one scene.
Oh, so then I missed that.
I'll have to show you it. It's actually great. It's where Sherry, after she gets broken up with, she leaves the bourbon room and mm-hmm. she tries waitressing elsewhere and it's horrible. And Mary J. Blige is the, like, madame of a strip club on the strip. And she offers her a job as a waitress and then she ends up saying, well, I want some more money, so I'll get into stripping. So Stacey Jacks is going through all this turmoil because the article in the Rolling Stone came out that was really negative and he feels washed up and everything. So he thinks, I'll go to a strip club and release some pressure that way. So he picks Sherry, just coincidentally, and they go into the back room. And then they do a song. Oh, the hurricane. Rocky Like a Hurricane, that's it. And you rock you like a hurricane. So Tom Cruise is pole dancing in that scene.
Oh, wow. I missed it. Yeah, you have to show me that.
They say dance around. And he sings into her. He sings at her butt as well in that scene.
Tom Cruise just loves singing at butts.
Yeah.
Is it a Tom Cruise thing or a Stacey Jacks thing?
Yeah, who knows?
Tom Cruise is not that tall, so maybe he just sings at butts. That's just where the... That's just where they land. I don't know. I just wrote a note when he's singing his song, the Wanted, Dead or Alive, and the bit that made me chuckle quite a lot is he walks past someone doing a crossword and he's like, Dalai Lama.
I
lost my shit. It was so funny.
That song, I actually quite like Bon Jovi, so when that song came on, I was like, oh, yeah. And I think that's a fucking killer song. And
I'm not.
It goes into, like, him being, like, it's in the empty club, and he's singing that at the journalist, because she's like, blah, 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 you're the worst, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you don't know what it's like to be. And he's like, yeah, I wrote this out.
Have these people even met themselves? I know me better than anyone, because I live in here. And he's like pointing to his head.
Yeah, it's real cool. So cool and edgy.
He reminds me so much of a Ben Stiller character.
Yeah?
like he's got all this, like, I'm so insightful and I know all this shit and I've been through stuff and you don't know me. And I don't know, the way he's kind of like, I don't know, a mix between a Ben Stiller and an Owen Wilson character.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
kind of vibe
that.
Where it's just like arrogant but not in a, like, I don't know.
But in an approachable way.
Yeah, or in a, I'm so insightful and I know stuff, I'm super mysterious sort of vibe.
Yep.
But I don't know, I just didn't, I got a, got a weird vibe.
So, some facts about this movie that you might not have known. Do you know, like looking at it, do you know when it was set?
It's like in the 80s?
Yeah, so 1987, which you can kind of get from the whole Nancy Reagan kind of character. I dug a lot of the fashion. I'm Ruby.
Oh, no, I'm a massive, that's it. I wrote a little list of things I liked. I kept writing little notes throughout the movie and then I wouldn't go back to that page. So I was like starting a list and then didn't go back to it. But the things I liked was set in the 80s, rock and roll music. It's cheesy. Love story. I don't mind that kind of, it's like,
that's
makes
me want to die.
Mate, the Drew and Sherry's characters were my least favorite of the whole movie.
Oh, they're so bad. Like, they're such attractive people who are just, wish would die. Like, get out of here. I want to watch everyone else.
I also, made a note that I liked that the songs were not sung in full. They were short, and then separated. So they'd have a bit of talking halfway through the song and then they'd come back to the song, and also like a medley style. So they might have two songs overlapping and then and like covers of songs that I already knew. So it was like, you could relate.
So think that's where the movie differed from the play, because apparently the play has a lot more songs in it and they're not so many mashup sort of medley songs. So I don't know what the music was like. Does it go for 3 hours and is it just nonstop music?
But I think like one thing I noted that I did like with like on my don't like is that, again, cheesy, because that's something I liked about it but also didn't like about it, because in some parts it was like, oh god, that's really cringy. But also I think that it would have, like, I didn't know that it was a play. I've never heard of it, but I also made a note that as a movie I think it would translate way better as a play, as a stage thing.
It definitely, it would, the definitely, whole thing feels like a play. So the opening scene is her on her bus going to LA.
Yeah.
And it's actually, like, I almost couldn't watch it the first time because she starts singing and then some of the passengers start singing and then they're all singing.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get up and walk away.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed. How is everyone sitting there straight-faced singing on this bus?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. It is. That's why, I mean, it's a lot. Like, it's definitely a musical, just they've made into a play. And, boy, howdy, is it a musical. So, did you know Tom Cruise sang all those songs? And so apparently when they picked him, he gave a demonstration of his singing and they're like, oh, you're actually quite good. So I guess that's how he got the role. He apparently has always wanted to be in a musical, but he felt afraid to kind of go there. And I can't imagine Tom Cruise being afraid of anything, really. Yeah, so he wasn't sure if he could ever pull it off. So when they gave him this role, he was really excited that he got to finally be in a musical. He apparently practiced 5 hours a day singing for this.
Oh, wow.
So he shows a level of dedication to things that I will never ever have. So good on you, Tom.
Oh, no, I don't have that dedication. I didn't even Wikipedia this. I know nothing about this other than what I watched.
Even my notes
are very inconsistent. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But, I did make a note of probably my favourite quote in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite quotes is, when the Z guys get a gig at the Bourbon Room and Alec Baldwin's character, who's like the owner who runs the joint, he sees it and he obviously hates it, being a fan of like rock and roll and not pop music. He's like, oh my God, I just threw up. And Russell Brand's character says, oh, where? And he goes, in my pants, and then pauses and then says, out of my ass. It's like, that was very funny.
What did you think of, Alec Baldwin is the owner of the Bourbon Room. He's like a aging rocker himself. And Russell Brand is his assistant,
He works there. He's kind of like his protege sort of.
Yeah.
Like,
what did you think of those characters?
Yeah, I thought they brought a comical side to it. But
I think my feeling is, I was so embarrassed that was Alec Baldwin that I couldn't get past it. Like, Alec Baldwin and Tom Cruise star in a couple of Mission Impossibles together where he is the head of the CIA. And I just seeing like this aging rock star. And then there's a bit where like they reveal
that they're in
love. Yeah. And like, oh no.
I wrote a note about that too. Is that when the song that played?
Oh, the song.
I can't fight this feeling anymore. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Can't fight this feeling. Yeah. REO Speedwagon, who I've never heard of before. Wow.
That I also read a note that kind of gave me real Blades of Glory vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're going to bust out and... Because I was singing and it's like, almost like they're going to do some dance together or something.
I think Russell Brand's character... Russell Brand was the best cast. Like, this is the only role I think Russell Brand should ever play in a movie. Like, it was kind of built for him.
That's kind of the role that he plays in a lot of things, though.
Oh, yeah, like Get Me to the Greek is basically that.
And yeah, and in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he's that rock star.
Get Me to the Greek is a spin-off.
From that,
yeah.
He's the same character, Aldous Snow. Is that his name?
I can't remember. Like it's been a while since I've seen that.
I don't know, something like that. Yeah, but yeah, it's that typical
dead shit rock star. Is definitely his shtick, which he does very well.
Shtick.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin. I almost passed out with embarrassment throughout that. But it was nice that there was a gay relationship, I guess. Like they didn't really like they didn't make a massive deal about it.
Yeah, it was just like suddenly they're in a
relationship.
And it was just like, yeah, cool. All right. We just.
On yours. Yeah. I'm all right. Okay with that. I just wish that Alec Baldwin would get out of my eyes because. Oh, I'm getting embarrassed just thinking about it now.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, back to Tom Cruise.
which is why we're here, you know.
The fact he sang all the songs
himself.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Because it opens with him singing. The first song is, in this long list, is Paradise City, Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, I was about to say that he sings. I have that very first thing in my notes. Paradise City, Guns N' Roses.
So
noted.
He sings that and he sings a few more songs. So, yeah, he was really good. And, like, you know, Tom Cruise was 50 years old when he made that. Like, I hope. I know I won't. I would love to be as fit and have so many muscles as he has at 50.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like swinging
around
the
big
pole.
What dragony crotch?
Oh my
thing.
God, that's the opening scene. Like, so the scene where you see him for the first time. Like, I love Tom Cruise, but I almost have to walk out of the room when that happens. So he's wearing like chaps and like a weird G-string with this silver dragon thing
head
cod piece
on his crotch, right on his junk.
And like, they zoom in on it and like he gets up and he's all like, I don't know, on drugs or whatever. And like it's like a pans past his ass and everything. I'm like, he's a dad.
Now try watching that where it's out of context and you can't hear the volume and you're watching it over someone's shoulder on a flight. Because I was sitting in my chair going, oh, dear Lord, looking around. And the same with the sex scene, the musical sex scene with him and the Rolling Stones reporter.
Oh, yeah.
How he's, like, grabbed her knees and just yanked her legs open and she's wearing, like, little floral undies. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I'm sitting around with this, like, 80-year-old people around me watching, probably not knowing what this is and not realizing that it's, like, a musical number and just going, like, what softcore shit are you watching on the plane?
Probably. The worst, lamest porn that's ever existed.
Like, I was like sitting there with my notebook. Oh, I'm not really interested in this. I'm doing this for work.
Yeah, it's quite provocative in a lot of ways. But when she's working at the strip club, do you notice all the strippers were just wearing regular undies? Like they weren't wearing G-strings?
No.
So you can have like Tom Cruise singing into a butt and you can have like ripping legs open and, you know, throwing girls around and everything. But they couldn't show bum cheeks. Then they show his bum cheeks. What couldn't they show? Oh, that was weird. There's not a strip club on earth where I think strippers wear
full
briefs. That was a stranger. But I liked the songs that they play in the strip club where they're like smashing their stripper shoes.
Well, I also love the Mary J. Blige.
She's a good character.
Obviously clearly has the singing experience. Her vocals.
She was definitely the best singer.
And it's like, not surprising that she is. But yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, it's a surprising bit of casting, but also a pleasant bit of casting.
Yeah.
Because she was she was very great. Good. Like she was like kind of a little bit motherly, but really tough. Tough love on poor dear Sherry, who
was my least favorite character in the whole thing.
And a big like country music hairdo.
Yeah, that sort of. She had that real like, hey, I like this rock music, but I don't show it at all in how I present myself.
Until
in,
the
anyway.
Final scene, where she wears the
Sandra D and comes out and is like, hell yeah.
Yeah, she wears this green leotard with 1,000 iridescent belts and boots and she straightened her hair and that's how you should have looked the whole time.
Also, like, what kind of, I couldn't picture, like, what was the time frame from like start of the movie to the end?
Well, Tom Cruise's now girlfriend is heavily pregnant, so
No, not including that, but I mean, like, in the, like, from when Sherry rocks up to when the complications happen, like, was it
I have no idea.
Couple of days or weeks? Because she has a lot of clothes for someone who didn't have a suitcase. She kept changing clothes. I'm like, where are you getting all these clothes from, girl?
Maybe Bourbon Room pays really well. Like, maybe that's why the Bourbon Room is having trouble with money, which is how they're just trying to
funding,
shut it down.
They're funding Sherry's clothing clothing changes.
you're paying your staff well, but maybe not so, maybe too well for a bar that's struggling to exist. One of the things...
Sorry, I just found a note that I've just written tongue. That's all my note says.
So this is actually, to me, one of the other worst bits of the movie.
Yeah, the kissing part or the...
So Stacey Jacks becomes obsessed with this Rolling Stone reporter and he has to see her. So, like, he brings up the Rolling Stone headquarters and that's how he finds out. Oh, it's a bit complicated. I'm not going to try and explain it all. Basically, he finds out from the Rolling Stone phone answer guy that he's meant to be doing a show at the Bourbon.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, well, I better go there. And then he runs into...
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they kiss.
So yeah, he goes, but he, open your mouth.
Yeah, he tells her to open her mouth.
And she just does?
She opens her mouth and he's like, got his hand on the side of her face. And I was like, oh, he's going to jam his thumb in there or something. And then he just sticks his tongue in the hole, like straight in her mouth. And I was just like, all I wrote was tongue, dot, 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 weird. And then I was like, Z guys, even weirder. I was like, what the heck is going on?
Oh, my God, that was so gross. Like, I don't think there's one person on earth who would find a woman with her mouth like really wide open, but in a really unsexy way.
Yeah, she just fully like opens it like you do at the dentist.
And then he like, and then I just can't fathom her as an actress being like, well, he sang in my bum yesterday, but today he stuck his entire tongue into
it's
my
so
mouth.
So hot.
And when she sticks her tongue into his ear.
Yeah, see
that's the grossest thing
I've
ever seen.
That's gross. And like, that's why he was like, oh, I love this chick. She's into tongue stuff.
Yeah, but it was like, she stuck her tongue right out and was just, it was so
weird.
Badly done. That is not how sex works.
It's not a
sorry.
Well, you can't get pregnant from having a tongue stuck in your ear.
You definitely can't, but you also can't get fucking aroused from that either. No. Like, I'd be like, excuse me, get those slugs out of my ear.
Oh, yeah, do it again. Love it. It was definitely very unsexy and very cringy. It's probably like one of the biggest cringy.
Yeah, so I grappled things a lot in this. On one hand, like, I do have a bit of a soft spot for the whole like sleazy rock star look.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, oh yeah. And
I said to you, I was like, for the record, I'm not really a Tom Cruise fan, but there are some moments in throughout films of his where I'm like, oh yeah, he's not, you know. And in the trailer, I was like, oh yeah, he looks like someone that I would be attracted to, or was back when I was into all that music and got, like, not that I hate it now, but I mean, like, when I first was introduced to all of that rock and roll stuff, and I found myself in the trailer going, like, oh yeah, Tom Cruise, he's, you know, I'll pick this movie because I'm interested to see. But then I liked it. I think I liked it.
Well, I think that's our summary. Is it the tackiest thing on earth? It made us cringe more often than not. Mm. But upon reflection, it was just quite enjoyable. I kind of gauge it. So the first time I watched it, my husband Ben, as soon as the Wanted Dead or Alive bit came on, he just stormed out of the room. He's like, "I'm going to bed." Like, he just couldn't. He couldn't deal with it. This is a person who loves musicals. He couldn't do it. So this time when I watched it, he sat in the lounge room the whole time and, you know, he cringed a lot and yelled at it a bit, but at all the appropriate spots. So I feel like that kind of sums up the movie. Is the first time you watch it, you kind of want to die most of the time. But then when you watch it the second time, you're like, oh, this is fun. I get why people like this. So
I came to that conclusion with the first time. I probably will never watch this again, to be honest. But I think because you already pre-warned me about it being a lot and very heavily sung and pretty lame /
very
cheesy.
I should have also said, like, if you hate Foreigner, don't watch this, because I feel like
there's
kind
several
of a vehicle
Foreigner songs.
For Foreigner.
Yeah, there's several Foreigner songs in
which
it.
Someone I used to live with years ago was obsessed with Foreigner, and I don't like them, and so it's kind of...
Oh, really? Well, I like Foreigner, so I was just like, oh yeah, this is some gold. I listen to this at work.
But then a couple of Foreigner songs are actually really good. Like I Want to Know What Love Is a great song.
Oh, so. Yeah? Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I can't...
I want want you to show me by sticking your tongue down my throat while I hold my mouth, like, yeah, sing in my bum.
Oh, jeez. We are not selling this at all, but I promise you, if you're okay with musicals and 80s music, you probably get a kick out of it. We're going to rate these movies out of five. I've been thinking about this. I actually don't know how I would rate this. I would say firmly in the middle, 2.5 dragon cod pieces.
Dragon cod pieces.
Out of five. What would you rate it?
I'll probably give it around the same. I'll go with, I'll give it 3 stars. Sweet. Yeah. But yeah, definitely not more than that.
You're going to give it 3 tongues in the ear out of five. That's what you're going to give it.
Yeah, I was also doing a tally. They smash a lot of alcohol in it, and it made me sad. Like, full bottles. So there's like, I got a tally up to like 2 or 3. They like drop a whole bottle, smash. And it's like,
another warning. There's a monkey in a baboon, I think it is, in the movie, and I hated that whole bit.
Yeah, I hated that his character. That was stupid.
Yeah, if they cut that out, that actually would have probably improved the movie.
Yeah.
At least 10%.
It didn't need that.
So if you absolutely can't stand baboons wearing small leather pants, definitely don't watch this movie because there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so thank you so much again, Emma, for reviewing this movie. That's been really fun that we can discuss this. I hope that maybe through this that you appreciate Tom Cruise a little bit more. He's a very versatile. Come on.
I appreciate that he can sing.
he sings pretty and that good.
It hasn't changed my opinion. But
okay, well, I'll work on that.
Maybe I'll, down the track, another episode, I'll watch something else. And
yeah, look, if you want some recommendations, I've got some buttes that I can recommend to you. Okay, Emma, you are a artist and you're actually up for an art show at the moment. Where can people find you on the internet?
So I've got Instagram, which is my handle's emetic_art, so emetic_art. On Facebook, it's Emetic Art as well. I've got an art show up at Mongrel in Milton.
Will that still be on when I release this? Maybe the tail end.
It's on for a month. So.
Yeah. It's a Guy Fieri themed art show. So I feel like Emma is definitely on board with tacky things. I should have thought about that one.
That's why I gave this film 3 stars, because my taste, I have questionable taste.
She likes tacky things.
I like shit stuff, right?
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much again for coming on.
No worries.
Thank you everyone for listening.
Peace.